We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the pink, the pink, the pink, the savior of the human race. For she invented medicinal compound, most efficacious in every case.
Mr. Fleas had sticky out ears, and it made him awful shy. And so they gave him medicinal compound. Now he's learning how to fly.
Rod the Tony was known to be bony. He would never eat his meals, and so they gave him medicinal compound. Now they move him round on wheels.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the pink, the pink, the pink, the savior of the human race. Was she invented medicinal compound, most efficacious in every case.
Old Ebenezer thought he was Julius Caesar, and so they put him in a home, where they gave him medicinal compound, and now he's emperor of Rome.
Johnny Hammer had a terrible sister, just his stammer. He could hardly say a word, and so they gave him medicinal compound. Now he's seen, never heard.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the pink, the pink, the pink, the savior of the human race. For she invented medicinal compound, most efficacious in every case.
Auntie Millie ran willy-nilly, her legs they did recede, and so they rubbed on medicinal compound. Now they call her Millie B.
Jennifer Eccles had terrible freckles, and the boys all called her names. But she changed with medicinal compound. Now he joins in all the game.
Despite a medicinal compound, sadly Pickle Lily died.
Up to heaven her soul ascended, all the church bells they did ring. She took with her medicinal compound.
Is that Roger?
It is.
This is Arnold from KOWS.
In America, yeah. Someone, great.
On the West Coast, actually.
How are you avoiding the fires and things?
Is that
awful?
Last year it came within an hour of our house here, At least it's a bit further away this year, so...
Okay. I've done that, okay. Good to talk to you, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Roger, I really appreciate it. Been an admirer. I grew up in London, so I went through all that the first time around.
Okay. good. And survive. Yeah, I
suppose so. Like us all.
No, okay.
But you'd be pleased to know I checked our local library and there is one book of yours and two or three of your poems in selected works. So,
all right, that's good. Yeah, excellent.
So you know now.
Excellent. Good to know. Yeah, so there you go. I've got a couple of books that we have next year and new book with Penguin and then children's one, and I'm off to Sydney Folk Festival tomorrow with a. I work with a band sometimes and with along with Furport Convention, Steel Ice Band, and all those people on tomorrow. So it's ongoing.
Oh, that's pretty special playing with those guys.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
What fun. Now, do you just, it's hard, I mean, you've done so many things. You're not just a poet. I mean, do you give yourself another name or?
Poet generally, most things, I can fit into that. You know, most things I do relate to that or surround it or something, you know, I mean, or a result of me being known as a poet. You know, even talking about going back to the Yellow Submarine, you know, that started off, you know, because they knew me as a poet, really. You
know. Right.
So, yeah.
But just for a personal thing, just the whole Liverpool thing, you know, I grew up in London. And when in 1961, my relatives came down from Liverpool, the McIntaggots, and my brother was in a band at the time, so we talked about music. And they, I remember them clearly saying, you know, there's a lot going on up in Liverpool, you just wait.
Really? Funny, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
So
they're right.
They were so right. And did you feel that when you were there at the time?
Well, it's funny, you know, because it never, I mean, initially, you never got out of Liverpool, you know, in a sense, so you didn't know what was good. You got nothing to compare it with.
Right.
It was only when it started to happen, I started moving out and out of Liverpool, you realised that, yes, in fact, you assume everything's the same everywhere, you know, or probably better. You know, you assume it's better. In fact, it wasn't. And then it was with the growing up and the realising, going to London later on, and things moved. What was going on was rather special, and for all sorts of reasons, you know.
And obviously, being not everyone was involved, so you were lucky to be able to have.
Yes, exactly. My girlfriend, you know, was in the same class as John Lennon at high school, and, you know, she went to, I was out going out with Paul, well, a friend of Paul, you know, he had lots of girlfriends.
Right.
When I first went out, I was a teacher, a geography teacher, you know, and they were swanning around, coming back from Hamburg, you know, right, in their swish leather coats and suede, you know, a bit like jealous of all that. But that was early on. So, yeah, they were around in small night courts, the art college as well, you know, so. It was, you know, as you imagine, a smallish town, and of course, the people who were interested in music, poetry, the arts, were gravitated to this, you know, small area, Liverpool 8, in the centre, and that's how I met the other poets and musicians. So it was, you couldn't help yourself almost, you know, be drawn in.
Right, because it was concentrated in a small area, exactly.
Exactly, sure.
With you, it's all about words. And did it start like at the family, or when you went to school, or to college, or Cub Scouts? Where did that inspiration come
from? Funny enough, it didn't start that. I mean, I must have had some talent at school, but it was not spotted and or was seen as subversive. You know what I mean? If you imagine this, going to what's called an Irish Christian Brother school, Catholic school, and pretty fierce, but looking to get there, you know, pass a scholarship. My father was a docker, worked on the docks. So going to grammar school was pretty good. It was fairly fierce and strict, you know, we were pretty strict. And so if I did an essay and it said something a bit slightly creative or a bit off the beat, off the piece, it was seen as being a bit like a bit of a rebel, a bit naughty. So I tend to keep your head down and keep quiet. When I went to Hull University, I went there to do geography and English, and geography in French. And Philip Larkin was the warden of the hall I was in, hall of residence. So he was swanning around, and I didn't know him until I got there, and didn't really speak to him because he was a bit, seemed a bit aloof. No, I wasn't, don't blame him. So that was then I started reading poetry then, and when I came back from university, went to teach in Liverpool, And this is where the readings were going on. I started writing then. And why, I don't know. I don't know why I was reading and not writing poems. Started up with the short stories, no poems. Play. Then I met up with Mike McCartney, you know, right. Paul's brother, and John Gorman, being part of the Scaffold. Epstein was our manager. Then we made records, and later on, of course, toured America and New York and things with the Scaffold. And so that took me a very different direction, as you imagine. You know, I didn't expect that.
Well, that's it. That, I suppose. Yeah, in that world, it must have, everyone knew, you know, the Beatles or whatever.
Yeah,
you
were, or just said they did. Said they did.
Or said they did.
Yeah.
But in, being immersed in that must have been, I suppose it was fun. It must have been that energy going.
Surely, yeah. Sure. 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 It was fun. Yeah. Very much so. Very lucky to be in there and enjoying it.
Thank you very much for the entry, Ian. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the entry, Ian. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the bird and bees. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the bird and bees. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the family circle. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the family circle. Thank you very much. Thank you very, 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 very much. You don't know how much they all mean. They seem much better in my dreams. Thank you very much for the entry, Lion. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the entry, Lion. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for
love.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for
love.
Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the Sunday joints. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the Sunday joints.
And our cultural heritage.
National beverage.
Being fat.
Union Jack.
The nursery rhymes.
Sunday Times.
The nap and bomb.
Everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very, 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 very much. It was simply spiffing and true. Now let me whisper, I love you. Thank you very much for the entry, Iron. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for the entry, Iron. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for playing this record. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for playing this record. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for our gracious team. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for our gracious team. Thank you very, very, very
much.
Poetry. I love poetry. I have a lot of poets on my show, local ones, the local poets and things. We've got to keep it going. And
It's very popular in England now. It has a research. Very probably the same in America. I don't know, but I do this show called Poetry Please. I don't know if you know BBC.
Yes.
Radio 4, doing it for years, and you have like listeners request for their favourite poets and things, poems and things. And recently, I've had a lot of poets on, like John Cooper Clarke and Kate Tempest, and these are poets. Kate Tempest, the last one, who do albums, you know, they're performance poets and a lot of sort of black poets, and you know, it's a great upsurge of young people who don't publish books, work on the iPhone, YouTube, and that sort of stuff, you know, really get into it. And lots of these the poets they like are all like American poets, so I assume it's quite a big thing over there.
It is. It's. I don't think it's got quite as hot, but I feel it happening though, locally.
Mm. Yeah, so it's just a good way of, well, you know, expressing yourself, expressing things, dealing with things, rather than getting angry and, you know, all those things that poetry can do, the good things about it, yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot, been a lot of poetry locally about the fire, you know, the effect on people.
I imagine, that's it, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you reach for a bucket of water first, and then reach for your pen, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. One of the poets I just loved who you connected up with was Adrian Henry of the Liverpool scene. Now, can you t- tell us about him. I've always been curious as somebody who knew him. Can you tell us about him?
He was interesting, Adrian. I met first met Adrian when he was a teacher at a school, teaching art painting school, and I was teaching in the same area, you know, with the same schools. We used to get on the same bus together, and he'd sit at the front of the bus, as one of this big guy, and he'd talk to his friend behind him, but he had an echoey voice, a big voice, so I was sitting in the back, he could hear him talking. But he knew a lot that I didn't know. He was into jazz, so he talked about Cannonball Adderley and all the jazz greats and so on, modern jazz quartets and so forth. And also he knew a lot about painting, and he was very influenced by Rauschenberg and Oldenburg and so on, all the American, great American poets. And he was a very fine painter. He was a very good painter, and he gave a lecture at the Art College. Remember George Melly?
Oh, yes.
The George Melly and an art critic, and said that if Adrian hadn't got, like, waylaid, sidetracked into poetry, he'd have been, really accepted and revered as a painter.
Oh, wow.
He was so much, yeah, he's a very good painter. And, a good teacher, good influence on some people, and a good poet. You know, and he loved standing on stage. I mean, he worked when he's with the local scene, poetry, music band. They toured with Led Zeppelin. They opened up to Led Zeppelin sort of shows, and he'd be on stage singing, a lion on his back on stage. He's a big lad, as you know.
Oh, yes.
Lion on his back with his feet kicking there and singing songs. Yeah, very warm guy, miss him a lot.
Yeah, just used to see, Liverpool scene a lot. They did the college tours, in
yes, London, they did, very so much. But that was the day. So, we used a lot of that, exactly. When I toured later with Grimms, with members like the Bonzo Dog Doodah band with Neil Innes, who of course went on to do the Ruttles. In fact, I was with him last week in Crete doing it at a few gigs, but Scaffold joined up with Bonzo's, and we used to do all those college dates. That doesn't go on so much these days. That doesn't happen. It's a scene that's no longer operative, unfortunately.
For me, that combination of the three was, I've interviewed everyone on the Bonzos except Viv, of course, and Sam Spoons, I think. So that combination was just outrageous, really.
It was.
Was there almost too much creativity?
It was funny enough, because all very different, all doing a different sort of creativity, if you like. There was part of the Scaffold elements was the comedy, various comedy, John Gorman, very comedy, Mike had his songs, Neil Innes had his funny songs, as did Viv, and very different performers and poetry, as did Brian Patton and Adrian. So we all had our world fitted in a way, to one big wheel, we're all cogs in this big wheel that spun generally very smoothly.
Yes, it's sort of like a super group, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, it was, really, yes. Yeah. P-super group.
Love it, And one of my favourite albums is Fresh Liver.
Oh, blimey, yeah. What a great title, isn't it? I don't know, we'll show that our time over again. I don't think it helps sell it, Liver. It's a great title, but a great cover, wasn't it? That slab of liver. We've been seeing group, really, musically and everything else, and then word-wise. And it's funny how today's music, no one does that. You can't do comedy things anymore, or slightly surreal. They're very serious, hasn't it? All gone, probably. I was going to say, understandably, but at the same time, times that are dark times like this, you do need sometimes something a bit cheery and offbeat and things.
I think you're right. In grim times.
Put it up on my poetry, though. The new poetry is about those things and about that, and also about America. Some of the poems are actually love letters to America, how we feel about it over here. A new poem about, based on Walt Whitman's poem, I Hear America Singing, which is a lovely, a lovely poem about the young America, everyone singing, going to work. And this is a take on that, called I Hear America Sighing, and it's rather sadness, and it's about how it would probably like itself, when I was young, America was like the what you aim for, you know, like your brash elder brother.
Exactly.
And so, you know, God, what are you doing? What are you doing now? You loved him, and you depended on him, you looked up. And it's all gone a bit like, please don't let him, don't wait beyond, you know, something, come back. So it goes on, anyway.
It is true, yeah, and we've got to mark those milestones of those changes, otherwise...
Yes. Yeah, you do mark them, whether you get it right or not, you do. Can't help it. If you're not doing that, you're not really... Well, you know, hardest higher.
Exactly, but yeah, being aware.
Yeah, being aware, yeah, that's what I'd say.
Wasn't a bad party, really. Except for the people. People always spoil things. Room's in a mess, and this one's left her clothes all over the place. Scattered like seeds. In too much of a hurry, that's our trouble.
A lot of your work is puns and wordplay. That's what I've always loved, and you know, all the years, obviously, like the Bonzos and you know, Scaffold and everything. Yes. So, is that something you really work on that just came naturally? Or
I think it came naturally, yeah. I mean, it's one of these things that I do, it's an asset sometimes, but initially, I was afraid that's all there was, but I think I was sometimes perceived that's all you are. You know what I mean? If you write sometimes comic verse as well, so I write serious verse, dark, you know, comic dark and all those things, as you get older, you know, you write allergies and stuff. But you're always, because you do comedy stuff, comedy material, you often seem lightweight or not really serious about it. And also, of course, because I was in the Scaffold, having had been on Top of the Pops and the Number One hit, how can you be a poet? You're trying to tell me you're writing poetry, you know. It's just a sort of thing you do. Yeah, so there's a lot of that sort of, after the success of the Mersey Sound book with Brian and Adrian and I, a lot of critics were a bit sniffy, you know, in a sense, and saw it as a working class sociological movement with industry, but nothing to do with literature. And, you know, so we have to sort of go through that, but you go through it because what else can you do? You just keep on writing, publishing. Growing older, your audience is growing with you, younger audience is coming along, you know, so
Well, and believing in your work at the time, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's right. You're believing yourself in you. Yeah, it's,
you know, you've got something and you want to put it out. You know, at any level of the scale, that's so important, I think.
Yes, it is.
Just doing it. Back then, obviously, there's a lot going on with all these different anniversaries, you know, 50th anniversary. I hear you're doing something on the White Album, 50th anniversary.
I did the Sgt. Pepper last year. Mm-hmm. That was great fun, going around Albert Hall, you know, doing a show with the Bootleg Beatles and Liverpool Philharmonic. And now there's the offer of doing the White Album. I mean, honestly, this could run and run, couldn't it? 50 years, I mean, 50 years anniversary of the Beatles, I could jump for life here. Possibly. I'm quite signed up, but the White Album's coming out in a big celebration in at the end of the year. Yes, with some big names they got for it, and they're doing it in Liverpool, so I'm looking forward to that, I think. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't it one of your poems, I think, was it 102 you're aiming for?
I keep opening it.
Okay.
When I originally wrote it, was like 50, I think. Yeah, well, I'm 50. You're 49 now, but you know, change it. So, you know, you do. Yeah.
Of course, the Yellow Submarine, I mean, it's the 50th, yeah. That, and obviously had a very huge impact on that film. People, obviously, when I see it, people mouth the words that you wrote.
Yes, I know.
It is wonderful.
And as you know, it's never got any bloody credit for it. I mean, that was always so annoying. And I mean, at the time, I mean, I was signed, as you know, by the time I was brought in, there'd been like 14 rewrites of it, and the last person to write the script was Eric Siegel, you know, the very good writer, wrote Love Story, remember?
Yeah.
And he was then professor at Harvard, and he's a classics prof. And to be honest with you, I was brought into the whole production by the English side of things, the English producers, TV, cartoons, TVC. And I think the Beatles had seen it, and they realised that the voices sounded like, Woody Allen, Ben Stiller, you know, wandering around New York.
Right.
And just very not like the Beatles. And so I brought in to make it sound like them. Particularly when the Beatles realised it was going to be a good special film. At first they thought it was another Beatles, had been a Beatles film before, you know, just went down to America, and the American producer, Brodex, wanted the same again.
Right, those
and
cartoons,
quickly,
yeah.
Yeah, pretty quickly, in case the Beatles, by this time next year, no one heard of the Beatles. But, of course, the TVC company and the Beatles, when they saw what this Hans Edelman and all the company were doing, is really going to be special, they took an interest and said, hang on. And, of course, our Brodex producer didn't want English accents at all in it, because you thought American audiences wouldn't cope with that, and especially Liverpool accents,
right.
No one would understand the word, you know, so he'd say, oh, again. But the Beatles didn't want to voice it, so they got these kinds of actors, Paul Angelus, Jeff Hughes, etc., who did a marvelous sort of impersonation, and I was then brought in to read the opening dialogues, the opening scenes, and then when I was there, the Sea of Monsters, the whole series was being created, so I came in and wrote all that. And it was nice to do that. I left it after a few months, and then my agent tried to get, and the crew and the cartoon people tried to get a credit in your name, you know, additional dialogue by so forth and so on, but they wouldn't buy it. And of course they wouldn't buy it because they're going to give me money, you know.
Oh, that's right.
that whole thing. So I was just moved it from it, and it's a pity because, you know, it's only so now later though, this length of time that people know how to get associated.
Well, that's it, isn't it? As long as we know now, you know, that's
no, now, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're right, exactly.
And you easy. And hopefully you can make a little bit of dough on it now.
I don't know. How about this check in the post, I'm sure.
Of course, the other one is the 40th of the Rattles this year, so that was...
Yes, that was good. I say I was in Crete, down in Crete, only 2 weeks ago, with Neil Innes.
Oh, yeah.
And who now lives in France. Neil Innes moved to France. And for some reason, and I just nice to see him again and do a few gigs together. And he hasn't changed one bit. And so yeah, Ruffles. Yes, remember the filming when I lived in Liverpool. They came to film the house, not the pianos, and running around the house crazy, you know, with Eric Idle and stuff. And it seemed so natural. You know, it was go and see more all the people.
Yeah, I'll never forget trading sheep puns with Neil Innes in my interview with him.
Oh, really? Yeah, good old puns.
Give me an F!
A!
Give me an A!
A!
Give me a G!
G!
Give me an O!
O!
Give me an R!
O!
Give me an F!
F!
Beat they are with their drums and piano and electric guitar. Always shout for me to fix their gear. Oh, man, the musicians are all queer. He fetched that lead and put in that socket there. Carry that speaker and fetch a chair. All night long, he's fetched that carry this. Oh, I'm kept so busy, I don't have time for a cavatine and bam. For me to fix, setting out the equipment, pulling all kinds of chicks. Every gig it's always the same. I stay in my dressing room, hide my shine. They're always on about the things they do, their wives and lives and their children too. But I can tell the public a thing or two. All the groupies, all that is swearing too. Don't know why I took on this job. Get no thanks from any of this mud. Don't try and get them everything they want. So I think I'll even become a servant. First they want the volume up, then they turn it down. Getting the balance right, they must think I'm a clown. They're always complaining, a real drag, man. Next thing they want me to be the f***ing van.
Obviously, you've been decorated by the Queen, and I've got to know, is that Jacobean, Victorian, Brutalist?
Commander of the British Empire, aren't I? Yes, yes. Yes. Well, yes, very nice. OBE and TV. That was unexpected. These things come out of the... come out of your side where you don't seek it or know about it. You know, it just happens. And it's nice, and...
Did it come in the mail, or did you actually get to see her?
Funny enough, I was in Czechoslovakia. On British Council business, and my wife rang her one night. I think all right, about the, you know, the dishwasher is broken, and this and that, and said, "Oh, by the way, there's a letter to you." Came with a stamp on the back, so I opened it and it said, "You've been offered the." I think John Major at the time, John Major was being promised, offered the thing. And if you accept it, you've got to write by return, say you accept it. And of course, I was away then, I waited there 3 weeks, and I said, "Oh, God, well, I've got to miss this, you know." But when I got back, of course, it was all right. So, I always say these people say that, you know, they turn it down. They do know, they are offered it, and they can say at the time, "No, thank you," you know, very quietly. "No, don't offer me." But often, sometimes, you know, they say, make a thing about denying it. I mean, funny enough, I mean, most people were delighted, all my friends, you know, family friends, early. But you did get some people say, oh, fancy accepting an honour of the Queen, or, you know, Tony Blair, as in the case of the CB, you know, I'm sure he's done killing all of them. You know, hang on, you know, hang on. It's for poetry, you know, it's recognising poetry, you know, which is.
Yeah.
What it's for, not me.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to look through the person pinning it on.
Yes.
But the bigger thing.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that poetry is coming up in England, getting hotter. Mm. How are, teenagers and new technology, how is that all blending together?
Well, that's what it is, you see. Exactly that. Mm. They're not looking to publish books. Some do, some don't. But they will go on the slam. The world of slam, you know, slam poetry, which came out of the Nicaragua cafe, I think, in New York originally, and they came there. And these guys who present it in present it in a very good way. I was in Dubai, the Emirates Festival, just a few months ago. I was on with some of the great best English poets, like Carol Ann Duffy, poet laureate, and Imgur Delanka, and all these people, and some famous, well, I didn't know them, famous Emirati poets. And a guy called Harry Baker, you may not have heard of, and I hadn't. And he did the reading, and afterwards we're all signing our books. And his row, his people signing his books, went around the corner of the building, you know, all young people. Huh. And he never had a book published, but he was known through the internet, all this stuff, and very good poets, and man from Bristol. So, you know, the whole world that, that all the people don't know about, and that's if you're young, how young now, I suppose, I'm saying. If you're in Liverpool now, starting off, how do you get published, how do you get to know? You do readings, you get them filmed, you get them out there, and people pick them up, it's only good, I suppose, it's only good.
Yeah, so it's lovely there's that many more outlets for poetry.
It is. And obviously some will be very good, some will be good, but at least you've got a chance, at least you're there. You don't have to send your stuff off to, Penguin Books or to all these magazines. When I was young, there was only poetry magazines, were those in London, like London Review and Encounter and all these things. Very posh, very seemed, very posh and hard to get into. So what would you do? But nowadays, that's what you do. You get out there and do it.
No, it's wonderful. And just on a lateral thing, I noted, when you went to college, you mentioned you studied French and... It's amazing you've actually translated
Molière. I wouldn't, when I was offered that, going to do it from the Liverpool Playhouse originally, and I said, I'm nice to be asked, I said, no way, because my French isn't good enough, I didn't go to Cambridge, I haven't been to France, I'm not an intellectual, and he said, oh, come on, Roger, here we go. And I just worked with it by having Molière there on my side in the French, so I could refer to it, but having prose translations of what was being said, and then a few other translations, and just worked it. And once you start doing it, once you give voice to the characters, once they start speaking, it takes off. And because I'm good at poetry, because I'm good at rhyme, rhythm, and all that stuff, it just follows up, and I found it really quite easy, and... And done one, great success, doing another one, and it goes. I surprised myself, really. And, Mr. Boggiano would have been very pleased.
Electric, yeah. That's it, isn't it?
I'm surprised, yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah. We never know what skill will come in handy at any point in our lives.
Yeah, very right, very true. That's just exactly that, yes. I mean, I at least find all these people who are so much better at me at it than French, translate, and so much better at me at dissecting Molière and what the meaning of this, that, and the other, And which is good and great and important, but doesn't matter if you haven't got that. Yeah, if you've got other things, Yeah.
Exactly, but actually, it's nice now. You have people dissecting you.
I know. I was a surgeon. Yeah.
But that must be interesting, having that type of analysis of your work.
Well, it is funny, yes, and it happens. People do PhDs on it and things like this, and always ask me what things mean, and never quite know.
We've got to have some mystery.
You've got Of course, yeah.
The story really started back in 1963, when I passed my exams for university. I was very working class in those early days, but 3 years up at Oxford made me change my ways. So if you'd care to listen, I'll tell you, if I may, how tragedy befell me on graduation day. Everyone assembled in the convocation hall, students and their parents, gents and ladies all. Nervously I waited in mortarboard and gown for the dean to call my name.
Next student, Charlie Brown.
When suddenly from the back there came a drunken shout, and through the door came mum and dad with a crate of stout. Then a coachload of relations staggered into view, singing,
Charlie Brown and Liverpool, we're really proud of you.
Professors, lords and ladies really looked askance when mother clambered on the stage and there began to dance.
Please down, Mother Brown, please down, Mother Brown. I'm at Oxford now, you know, E-I-E-I-N-D-O. Please down, Mother Brown, please down, Mother Brown. Look at the state of my old mate, and please down, Mother Brown.
A student shouted angrily,
we want our degrees, not a drunken lady's fat and hairy knees.
On hearing this, I leapt up and gave the chap a clout.
Watch it, lad, that's my ma you're talking about.
Soon everyone was fighting, pandemonium broke out, but unperturbed Mother Brown gaily danced throughout.
He's down, Mother Brown, he's down, Mother Brown. Deary, deary, deary me, now I won't get my degree. He's down, Mother Brown, and he's down, Mother Brown. Look at the state of my old mate, and he's down, Mother Brown.
The assembly hall next morning was in a sorry state, and I need hardly tell you, I didn't graduate. And now I'm on the old King Cole back in Liverpool town, just because my mother couldn't keep him down.
Knees down, Mother Brown, knees down, Mother Brown. Need you be so working class, get up, mother, off your knees down, Mother Brown. Knees down, Mother Brown, look at the state of my old mate, and knees down, Mother Brown.
Still out on the road a lot. I mean,
yeah.
Is that fun or does it get a bit...
It's fun. I mean, I tell you what's fun, and it would stop being fun when I'm no longer writing new work. You know, the fun is trying out your poems or to hear them, to go down how to work with an audience. And so I'm doing that. I do that all the time. Again, a lot of what I do, recently working with these three guys called Little Machine. And we did a show together a couple years ago, just put together. And what they do classic poems like We'll Go No More Roving, that sort of thing, and The Art of Living is Free, the classics. And they put them to music and sing, they have slides, big slides behind on the film screen with the words to get the audiences to join along. It really is a great way of presenting sometimes classic poems that people have forgotten about in a new way. So we teamed up together, and I've been going around with them. And it's, you know, they're younger than me, and they all drive, you know, drive cars. You know, generally they call me the governor and all that. And I do my own things. Put it, and they play music behind sometimes, and then they do their stuff. And it just makes it for an audience. It's a nice evening, I think, of poetry and music. You know, and the rock and roll. You know, so keyboards and two guitars, you know, electric stuff. So it's quite a post-punk.
No, I see it. Yeah, picture
totally,
you.
Totally,
yeah, you're playing the guitar.
Not me. No, I just pretend. I can't. Never mastered the guitar. No, or anything musical. No.
Yeah, I was wondering. I saw it. Yeah.
No, that was just a bit of ironic. It was irony. That
okay.
Something I get me. My irony. Hopefully, it's not, obviously not.
Talking about now and the future. Do you have any big projects you're thinking of? You got your book coming out.
That's the main thing.
Is that the main thing?
It's coming out in spring. It's called Joined Up Writing. And the idea being Joined Up Writing because I have a poem that says from the first tentative scratch on the wall to the last hurried, unfinished scrawl, one poem. In other words, like from the beginning of mankind, been writing sort of one poem in a way. You know, you do write one poem, it changes and it goes up and down, but it is one, almost one thing that you're doing. So that's got the idea of joined up writing. So it's poems you posed some political, some of my childhood memories, stuff about, and some allergies, and generally it's some of it's funny, some of it's dark. But the gig comes down in September. It's got to be delivered by then. So I've got about 50, 60 poems, enough, you know, for a good sized but I'll still be adding to it. And then the kids' poems, that's been the kids' book or the story is being inserted at the moment. And I'm always looking for the next thing, you know. I'm always, inevitably, it's what I do, you know, it's a nervous tick. You've got to go to your desk and start scribbling and go to the obviously PC and computer and start putting things down. Unless I'm doing that, I feel a bit waste of time, really.
Yeah. Now, do you still just write by hand, or do you do it all on the computer now?
It generally begins with the book and the paper and the scroll, yeah, you know, paper. Because once I go too quickly to the computer, it looks too to be published. Yeah, it puts me back a bit. So I let the scribbles and the scotching down and stuff, and then when it's sort of ready, I'll put it down and then reassemble it on the screen. Yeah. And I always carry a notebook around with me, and obviously, and do that, and note things down, overheard conversations, that sort of thing. And I do some creative writing courses occasionally. That's what I was doing in Crete, teaching, you know, poetry writing, but not, you know, creative writing courses. And then being invited to America to read poems, you know, 1969. So you think when you write that, America would say, "Look, what we need is." What do you think?
I would think so. I'm shocked.
What do you think,
Arnold? I'm shocked.
What's going on over there?
I'm shocked. I'm stunned.
Shocked, I know, yeah. Please don't be embarrassed for a moment. I know people go, you know, there's going on to places and doing readings, but one day. I used to friend like Kenneth Koch, a wonderful American poet. I used to know people like that. I used to work with them, but in Europe, you know, they said, "Well, you just go over to America." And I said, "Yeah, okay."
Maybe for the best, who knows? But
maybe, yeah. It's all going so well until we went to America. Yeah.
Well, just keep doing it, Roger. Great work and wonderful stuff. And just thank you so much for giving me your time. And
pleasure. It's been very good luck. Thank you.
A pleasure speaking to you. Great luck.
All right, mate. Goodbye, mate.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm a housebound, house-trained, normopathic bearer, but I guess it's what love's about. Love on easy terms, guard against the germs, and be the one they can't do without. Good night and good morning, goodbye and hello, an occasional planted kiss, taken by and large for granted, in a disenchanted forest of bliss. Sipping, sipping coffee that's not too strong, but it's the super save of the week. Love is as hard and as big as ambition, and as soft and small as a tear on my
feathers, and you always wear them loose. Think that you're a swan, but you're just another goose.
Your airplane of perception cannot leave the landing strip, but you're the stewardess on every mind-expanding trip.
birds of your feather. You didn't have a mind to blow.